Welcome to this episode of Real World HR, the podcast that puts the human back into HR. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Faye Wallace. With a background in HR, Faye's dedicated her career to guiding others through the rewarding yet complex labyrinth of the professional world. She founded Bright Sky Career Coaching, an initiative born from her passion for helping people craft more fulfilling work lives and excel in their careers. Faye and her team help their clients take the load off their minds with coaching, courses, podcasts and a HR planner that gives them the confidence and tools they need to be able to move forward. In today's episode, we explore the career coaching, what it is and how it is to make you more fulfilled in your career, whatever the career may be. Are you ready to step into the real world of HR? So, thank you very much for joining us today, Faye. Really looking forward to our conversation and kind of the experience that you've got there already. So it'd be great as a starting point to kind of you just give us a bit of an overview of what it is that you do. Obviously, we've mentioned that you do coaching. Kind of, I suppose, your journey to get you to where you are now and how you work with and who you work with.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I just want to say a big thank you for having me on the show, Louise. It's wonderful to be here.
You're more than welcome.
And then as far as a little bit about me and my journey, I had my main career, or should I say my second career. I started off as a teacher very, very briefly before moving into an HR career. And whilst I was in my last role, I started being asked to help with career development and coaching. And I suddenly thought, oh my goodness, I absolutely love doing this. It's so rewarding when I can see people moving into roles that they really want to have or really excelling in their career. This is fantastic. I actually think I'd like to take a sidestep and move away from my HR role and take on a coaching role. So I trained as a career coach and then later on as an executive coach and set up my business, which is Bright Sky Career Coaching. It began by offering all sorts of coaching services for all professionals. So anyone could come and see me for help with any aspect of their career. And what happened was 4 years ago, I sat down and thought I'd really like to create something to help the HR and people community because I had a few HR coaching clients and I could see that they were up against challenges I could really identify with because I had experienced them as well when I'd been in my HR career. So I started off creating this document. At first it was just a PDF for online that you could download for free, and you can still get the latest version for free online, called the HR Planner. And in there I put a whole load of reflection and coaching questions to help people figure out what did they want to achieve in their HR career for the upcoming year, what goals did they also want to set themselves for work, and also how are they going to keep on top of everything, because as you'll know, Louise, HR, oh my goodness, it is such a busy role. You are responsible for so much. It's this huge remit. And I just had so many people coming to me because they felt really, really overwhelmed and like they were never fully on top of everything. So I created it and I thought, hopefully that's going to help. Let's see if some people would like to use it. And I had no idea of the reception it would get. My inbox went completely crazy with people asking to download it. I had last year, 6,000 people used it to help them plan out their career and their work goals. And it was just incredibly rewarding to create something that people found helpful. And from that, I thought, what else could I do to help the HR and people community? And that's when I created my podcast, HR Coffee Time, which is primarily a career-focused podcast for HR professionals, because I didn't really think there was anything quite like that at the time. And from that, from having done those two things, what happened was more and more people within the HR and people community started coming to me to ask for coaching. So just over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago now, I realized that the business had evolved without me really meaning it to.
Just sometimes these things happen, don't you? Yeah. Taking down a journey that you're not expecting to be on.
Absolutely. And so I changed things and said, well, if you work in other professions, of course, you're still very welcome to come and have coaching if you would like to, but I'm going to completely laser focus on letting everyone know that I'm a coach and I have other coaches who work with me as well to support HR professionals to really thrive and excel in their careers and really enjoy their careers and their work. So that's what I do.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting journey, isn't it? Kind of from where you've started off and even from the point of moving from HR into coaching, because there are a lot of coaches out there, isn't it? And it's about how you stand out and how you deliver to a great standard. I think the career coaching element of it, I think there's some kind of real value that goes into that within businesses. Did you used to work in a business, you know, like for a business to be able to support people with a career development, or would that have been individual people that you were working with?
Yeah, so the way it all started was when I was actually in my last employed role as an HR person, I dug into our employee engagement results and saw there was this perceived lack of career development opportunities, which I knew wasn't quite right because I had been responsible for recruitment for a long time. So I knew that there were all these roles that were available, and it seemed odd to me that people weren't really trying to move internally. So at that point, I did some training in career management, and I designed and delivered a career development / career management workshop with some of my colleagues. And you will probably, and your listeners will probably have had experience of this, where you deliver some form of learning intervention or training, and you have to strong arm people to sign up. Things like performance management training or using the new HRIS system, and no one wants to go along to the training apart from a few really well-behaved, compliant people. Well, I announced that we were doing this workshop, and I couldn't believe it. It was completely oversubscribed. I had people, the day I was running it, this is pre-pandemic, you know, years before the pandemic. So,
and people could all be in the same room.
Yes, everyone used to be in the same room for these things. I had people queuing in the corridor saying, Faith, anyone drops out, just let me know and I'll have their place. I was like, what is going on? And I realised I really must have tapped into a real need for the people within that organisation. So we ran the workshop, and I was just really blown away by the impact that it had, because I had some people coming up to me in tears saying, you have completely changed the way that I view my career. I didn't realise I have this much control. Thank you so much. And I was like, what is happening? This is so surreal. I just didn't expect this to have this kind of impact. So yeah. I've delivered that workshop not that exact one. I've grown it and developed it and refined it over the years and kind of developed versions of that for different organizations. But primarily, my work to begin with was very much one-on-one coaching. And before I niched down to just support HR and people professionals, I did a huge amount of outplacement work. So when organizations are sadly having to make redundancies, they would ask me to come in and either work one-to-one with people who were losing their jobs, or deliver workshops and group support to people to help them with moving on. Now I still do one-to-one coaching very much, and that can be at all levels of seniority within HR, and that can be to tackle any sort of challenge that they're up against within their career. Often it's around a transition point, so you find people tend to have a wobble if they're promoted or a massive change happens in the organization, or they come back to work after they've been poorly or have maybe had a break to have children, or they move to a slightly different role, or they get a new boss. The one thing I've noticed is often some sort of transition has happened. That tends to be the underlying theme, but it's not always. People might decide they want coaching for another reason as well. And then as I started to coach more and more and more HR professionals, a lot of the people I was supporting were in standalone roles, which I've also done. I've had a standalone role before. And again, I had this thing where I thought, oh my goodness, I can really identify with a lot of these key challenges. And I can see these key challenges weren't just for me when I was in that role, and they're not just for this one person I'm coaching now. They're coming up again and again and again. So at that point, I actually created a group coaching program, which is called Inspiring HR. And through that program, we laser in on each of the challenges, and the group will support each other in building up their confidence and skills around those challenges.
Oh, fantastic. So there's so many different kind of arms to what it is that you're doing, isn't it? So would the people that are doing the individual coaching with you join the group as well? Or would it be kind of different people, depending upon what their needs are and what their wants are for what they wanted to achieve?
Yeah, so I've had people who I've coached on a one-to-one basis before they've joined the group coaching programme. The majority of people who join the group coaching programme, I haven't necessarily worked with them before. They may have used the HR planner, or they might have attended a workshop that I've run, but it doesn't tend to run on that you have one-to-one coaching and then go into the group program. necessarily, but you know, that is an option. And some people who have been through the group coaching, as part of that, you get to have some one-to-one sessions with me anyway. So some people ask afterwards if they can just top it up with some additional sessions. But most people finish the group coaching and then say, oh, that's great. I'm feeling really empowered and confident now. Thank you.
And off they go again. So, I mean, obviously you're heavily involved in coaching, and I think it's obviously, from my point of view, great to kind of pick out that HR element of it. And, you know, we're very much kind of in the thick of it, you know, from a consultancy point of view, doing the day-to-day support with businesses. And we work with businesses who've got HR in-house as well. So sometimes it is really difficult for them in-house to be able to do things. So what do you think the benefit is to any professional, really, obviously within HR, but any professional, around having someone to be able to give you coaching, or and what the impact of it would be, really?
Well, I've had feedback from quite a few people recently where they've told me why it's been so helpful. I was coaching someone recently who has stepped into a CPO role in a very, very busy organisation. There's just so much to do. And she said to me, it's just absolutely invaluable having the time out to think, just to pause and stop and think and gather my thoughts, because she realised she has so many different fires to put out, so many different things that she could be working on. There's just so much to do. It feels overwhelming, and you almost end up being paralysed sometimes, or panicking that you're not focusing on the right thing, or there isn't a structure to how you're approaching your work. So by having coaching, it just gives you that moment to stop and breathe and be able to turn this tangled mess of ideas that are in your head into some sort of structure, and to feel calmer and realize, okay, I can't do everything, but how am I going to approach this? What am I going to do? But again, coaching can be so helpful for different reasons. So that's an example of someone who's just said, oh, thank you, it's so helpful to have this time to think and to talk. There's also the confidentiality aspect, and the fact that I'm a completely neutral person. I'm not in their organization. So it can feel, I think, sometimes easier to talk to someone who knows nothing about you, because I'm not approaching the coaching conversation with any sort of preconceptions of what that person is capable of, or who they are, or what the environment's like at all. Whereas, of course, if you're trying to talk to friends or family or colleagues, what they are probably going to give you advice, which again is different to coaching, and it's going to be very much coloured by their prior interactions with you. So I think it can just come across as a very fresh approach to have someone there who is neutral to listen to you. And then, of course, the key thing to coaching, I guess the magic behind it, is just the questioning. All the time, everyone has got the answers to their challenge locked away inside of them. They just often haven't had the time, or they haven't been asked the right questions to unlock what those answers are. So again, that's where coaching is really invaluable. I try to take quite a pure coaching approach, which is where I don't give advice, but on certain things, especially as I'm a career coach, I will give advice. So on things like, if someone is looking at moving into a new role and they want to have help with their LinkedIn, then I'll absolutely say, okay, let's redo your headline, let's do this. Or they give me their CV, okay, let's improve this and that. And so in that respect, which I'd describe more as mentoring, of course, that's really helpful as well, because you're getting a skill set that you may not necessarily have, because you're not a complete geek about LinkedIn and obsessing about it all the time like I am.
Being honest. But it's a really interesting journey that people take on, isn't it? Because people, as you say, there's normally a reason that somebody will go into this in the first place. So it may be a case of the change of role, or change of circumstances, or a new position. And do you think a lot of this comes down to how people think about situations and kind of the mindset that they've got about how they're approaching? I suppose the question is really around mindset. Yeah. I suppose being in the right frame of mind to be able to continue on to be able to do the job, or to learn new skills, or to be open about new situations that come up. How important is mindset in coaching, really, in what it is that you're speaking to people about?
It's such a great question, because you probably hit on what one of the core benefits of coaching is, and you'll have articulated it better than I just did.
I'm not sure. I think I went around the houses.
No, not at all. So with coaching, I think a lot of it is about developing your mindset, because you'll have come up against some sort of block and be thinking, I can't do it, or I'm stuck, or I just don't know what the answer is. And so the coaching can really help you with that. There are certain mindsets or ways of approaching the way that you think and interpret situations that I've noticed are really helpful to have as you start moving upwards in your career. So foundationally, for everybody, I think having what's called a growth mindset is just the best thing you could possibly do for yourself, for your work and your life. I'm not sure, have you covered growth mindset on the podcast before, Louise?
We've covered mindset, we haven't gone into kind of growth as such, we've covered mindset in general, but actually it was probably one of our most downloaded episodes that we've had around the mindset element of it was with a mindset coach. So yeah, feel free to share what you think around growth mindset, because I think it benefits to everybody to think in a different way and also to think in the growth way.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that episode then, because I love listening to anything about mindset. I've listened to lots of your other episodes, but that's one that escaped me.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. Just as you say, it's kind of opening people's ideas up that the mindset of how you are and how you achieve, and kind of one of the words I've just wrote down there is kind of the blocks that you've got. And I think until, from my opinion, once you understand your blocks that you have, that's when you start being able to break them down to be able to continue forward. So it's that element of it, I think, is really important.
Absolutely. And when you mentioned about the blocks that you've got, I think that's the thing that coaching can really help you do, is develop your self-awareness. Because it's a funny thing, we are all inhabiting our bodies and our minds. You would think, therefore, we know ourselves really well, but we don't necessarily. We've got things about ourselves that we just don't realise. Often that can be incredible strengths we take for granted and just think, oh, that's no big deal, because it's not that hard for us to do something, when actually everyone around us thinks, oh my gosh, it's amazing that they can do that. But you undervalue it in yourself. And the same thing, you may have things that are tripping you up, behaviours that are tripping you up, or ways that you're thinking about things that are tripping you up, but you can't see it. And getting feedback from other people can be a really helpful way of shining a light on some of these things. But often the coaching can really help enhance that light even further, or shine the light on without you having even received the formal feedback. But going back to growth mindset, the concept of growth mindset was coined by Professor Carol Dweck. She's actually a doctor and a professor, so I never know what I should refer to her as.
Either yes, or, with that name, I think, either professor or doctor. She should be happy with either.
Highly qualified researcher, I suppose. <Yeah. laughs> Because one of the dangers in talking about mindset, I think, is that there's a lot of talk about it that isn't necessarily based on research or facts or data. It's just thoughts. And then I think I get a bit worried sometimes as to whether it's not always going to be helpful. So the reason I love Professor Dr. Carol Dweck's work is that it is so grounded in research. So what happened was, her research began with children. She wanted to see what would happen when she set them challenges. And so what happened was, she would go in and work with groups of children and set them challenges. And to begin with, all the children would engage with the challenge. And she progressively made the challenges harder and harder and harder. And she thought all the children would give up. Most of them did, but not all of them. And she was really shocked, because she had one child come up to her in one instance and say, oh, Dr. Dweck, where can I get my hands on these tricky puzzles so I can practice at home? And she just couldn't believe it. And what she identified was that we tend to either have a fixed mindset, which is where we think there is a limit on our talents and abilities, that people are naturally at talented things or they're not. And that's just the way life is. And if that's the case, if something gets really hard, oh, that's because I can't do it, or that's just, I'm not good enough, so I better give up. But if you have a growth mindset, you don't believe that. You don't believe that any of us have got the fixed traits at all. You believe everyone can learn and develop and grow and practice. And so she calls that a growth mindset. And she continued her research and found that this actually stays true for all of us. And in fact, when I've talked about it before, someone said to me, oh, it sounds a bit like what I've heard when people talk about having grit or talk about having resilience. And I always say, yes, it absolutely feeds into those two concepts as well. Carol Dweck talks about the power of yet. So if you fail at something, instead of thinking, oh, can't do it, or starting to really beat yourself up, oh, I'm such a failure, I'm such a loser, there's just no point. Instead of that, you say, oh, I haven't done that yet. I can't do it yet. So it's really having a test and learn approach to things, instead of thinking, I've got to do it perfectly or it's a disaster. Or I should be really good at this and I've tried it and it didn't work. Oh my goodness, what's happened? What's gone wrong? There's something terribly wrong with me. So it's helpful in so many different ways, especially for anyone listening who feels that they lack confidence and belief in themselves. I think once you start trying to switch your mindset from that fixed mindset of I either can do it or I can't do it, I'm right or I'm wrong, to taking on more of a growth mindset and realizing there really is no such thing as failure. Everything is a learning opportunity. So, you know, having my own business, I had no idea what I was doing when I set up working on my own. No idea at all.
Same as me.
There have been so many trips and stumbles along the way in working out how on earth you actually have a business and make it all work. But I have to really try to remind myself, if things do feel tough sometimes, of taking on that growth mindset. You know, I've created courses and programs that no one was interested in because I'd approached it all wrong and I could have just given up. But instead I've tried to say, okay, this does feel disappointing. You're still allowed to feel disappointed, but thinking, right, I've just not cracked it yet. That clearly wasn't quite the right approach then. So I'm going to keep going and adapting and changing and see what happens. And then, yeah, then I managed to create the HR planner and the group program and you realize, oh, hooray, but
it does all work.
but then you know, I'm constantly refining and growing because never thinking, oh, you know, that's it then. And actually there's quite a lot of excitement then in embracing the journey and knowing that it isn't all about success or failure. Actually, it's all the learning that's important.
Yeah, it's the learning that goes. And I think the idea of the fixed mindset, you know, it's terminology that I've been aware of, and you kind of recognize who's where, don't you, when you're talking to people. You can kind of pick it up without it being, you know, quite obvious. But I think one of the important points I was thinking there was actually you can have a growth mindset, but somebody with a fixed mindset tries to push you back down sometimes and just says, why are you doing that, you know, what's the point in doing that, and can be quite negative and push you down. But you've got to be kind of therefore stronger if you've got that inner grit, is the word that I use, because I use that quite often, but that inner grit to kind of to rise up above that, to think, well, actually, that's your thoughts, but this is mine and this is how I'm going to progress. So it can be difficult for people of the growth mindset to continue up, but as you say, you push above the challenges to be able to get to the point that you want to achieve from, I would think. So I think they're a couple of really important points around mindset. And I think another really important one that you just said earlier there was around the self-awareness element. So we've done a podcast and the lady, we did about emotion intelligence and I absolutely love the topic around emotion intelligence and kind of how it impacts on people and how aware they are. But actually she made a comment and said there's only 20% of people who actually are self-aware. You know, so there's quite a significant number of people who think, oh yeah, I'm self-aware. But there's actually only 20% of people who are self-aware. I thought, actually, that could be quite right. You know, I mean, some people have elements of it, but to kind of across the board, self-awareness is such an important point, especially when you're working, like, obviously we work with so many different clients. The way that the clients, like the employees work, but the employees work within there as well. Some people have no awareness at all, do they? They've got no self-awareness about how they approach any situation, which comes back to your mindset of how they're approaching things as well.
Yes, absolutely. I haven't heard that 20% statistic before. That's really interesting. You're going to have me pondering on that after the interview, I think.
But those type of things, like when you come up with statistics like that and you kind of think, oh, the reality is that, you know, people need to be self-aware to have the right mindset to enable them to grow, or, you know, some people are fixed mindset and that's absolutely fine. We're all made up of completely different types of people. But it's about whether, you know, obviously the people like you're working with on a HR point of view, I would imagine they want to grow within their role and to be able to manage. So ultimately they need to move into that growth mindset, kind of take some of the blocks out that they've actually got in place as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the other mindset shifts that I see when people are ready to move into that really senior level as well is the recognition that they don't need to have all the answers, and that's absolutely fine. That's something that I've noticed can really hold people back within their HR careers. They'll not put themselves forward for a promotion, or they'll really suffer from self-doubt when they're in situations and they feel like they should know everything. And actually, the more senior you become in your HR career, you cannot possibly know everything, because as we talked about earlier on, it's just so wide-ranging. You cannot be the world's greatest expert in L&D and recruitment and organisational design and employee relations and employment law and change management and you know, all of these different things. It isn't actually possible for any human being. And there's something around becoming a leader, being able to let go of being the absolute expert in something and rely on the people around you, or being able to say, I don't know, but I'll go and find out, or... What do you think?
Say, that's the big thing. It's the big thing about being able to say, actually, I'm not 100% sure, but I'll go and find out and I'll come back to you. For me, it's about having that good resource around you to be able to go, actually, I'm going to speak to this person about that, or they're amazing at this. And to be able to have your, I suppose, your, kind of your own tribe, your own team, isn't it, to be able to pull from, to be able to get the answers, because we don't need to be an expert in every single thing that we do, do we?
No, we
can't be.
No, and you're absolutely right, having your own tribe. I read a book earlier this year by someone called, I think it was called The Personal Board of You, and her theory was that we all need to create our own personal board. So know that we have people fulfilling certain roles that we can go to for advice, just like an organisation has a board that make the ultimate decisions and give guidance and see how everything's going. And I quite liked that idea, because you're right, for everyone, in fact, regardless of any profession, at certain points you think, I don't know, but who can I ask? And knowing who the person is to ask and knowing that you can support them in exchange in some way, I think that has an awful lot of weight in it for your career, really valuing those relationships and investing time and energy into them, even when you are super busy in your role.
Yeah. And it is about giving, isn't it? You know, like sometimes it is about giving people the time to be able to help them with a situation. Or I'm very fortunate, the team that work with me have got a real strong team. So, you know, for the situations that will come up where we think, what should we do about it? It's great to be able to have that discussion point, because you don't need to know everything about everything. And it's good to be able to have a discussion around what the next steps are. But certainly kind of over the time for us, we've kind of built up such a good support network of whether it's people who can support on mental health or occupational health or health and safety, or, you know, to be able to pull on people, or leadership or coaching or whatever it may be, but to be able to pull on those people to be able to say, right, okay, we've got this situation, what would you advise on that part of it as well? I think it's just invaluable. And I think it also puts you out there, because it builds your confidence that actually, you know, it's okay not to know everything, but you can certainly bring people in that can be able to support, in our case, our clients that we're working with as well. So I think definitely invaluable support there. What would you say, obviously we're talking about coaching and the benefits behind coaching, what would you say is the differential between coaching and mentoring? You know, because obviously it is labelled up differently, isn't it? What would you say would be that differential between the two?
It is, yeah. And I still remember the person who I did my executive coach training with. I can still vividly remember the first time I ever called him when I was first thinking of becoming a coach. And I said, oh, hi, I'm just interested in coming on your program because I'm doing a lot of coaching at work at the moment and I'm really enjoying it and I think that's what I want to do for my career. And he said, well, that's great, can I ask you what coaching you're doing? And I said, oh yes. And there were two people in particular that I'd been asked to support at work. I said, I have one person who wants to change career internally and I have one person who needs to get their engagement scores up, and I'm coaching both of them. And I said, great, can you just talk me through what you've been doing with them? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I've told the person who wants to change career, right, let's look at these courses together, let's work out how you're going to get that qualification, let's get you talking to the head of that team so they're aware of it. And I went on and on and on. And then I said, and with the person who needs to get their engagement scores up, I dug into the results and I've interviewed some of the people he works with, and I've said to him, one of the challenges is that people would just like to see you more and have more presence, so why don't you think about maybe having some lunches or some casual drop-ins? And the person on the end of the phone, the person who I went on to do the training with, said, that's not coaching, that's mentoring. And I said, really? And he said, yes, if you're giving any sort of advice or you're telling someone what to do, that is mentoring. If you are asking someone questions that help them decide how they can solve the challenge for themselves, that's coaching. And I was genuinely shocked when he said that. I just hadn't realised the difference. And pretty much any coach training provider, you know, that's with an accredited body, the definition falls within there. Having said that, as a coach, you can still mentor, you can still give advice, as long as you've got that agreement up front, really, or as long as you're very clear about it. So I try to take a blended approach. And for a coaching session, I'll normally make sure it's driven by the questions. But if the person being coached asks me, do you know anything about this, Faye? Or is there anything you'd recommend? Then if I think it really would be helpful for me to share, then I might share that. Or if they've come to me for coaching because it's around something very, very practical, like polishing up their LinkedIn or getting through an interview, then in that case, although theoretically that's called career coaching, if you were looking at it from a purist perspective, that is mentoring. And of course, I would do that. So people get very, very het up about this, Louise.
No, they do. And it's a topic that comes up all the time. And people say, oh, do you need a coach? Do you need a mentor? And I think there's so many people that kind of think, I know I need something, but I'm not really sure what it is that I need. So I think that that differential there that you've said, and I think it kind of covers it really, really very well around the challenge and the questions as the coaching part, but the giving advice is the mentoring part of it. And I think that does help. I think it does kind of make it clearer for people to be able to do. So obviously you're meeting with different HR people at all different levels in the business. So obviously you specialise in HR, but actually it's relevant kind of across the board, you know, when you've got people working at different levels in the business. But what do you think would be some of the examples for kind of the common challenges that HR people come across, which in essence need the support and coaching?
Well, the biggest common challenge, so the one that seems to touch you no matter what level you're at within your HR career, is time. And time management and being able to focus on the important things. But then other challenges that I saw kept cropping up again and again and again, which is why I created the group program, were this complete fear over being strategic. So there's been this narrative for several years now that HR needs to be more strategic, and I could just see people in an absolute panic about it. So that's one of the focuses on the program, in helping people realize they already are strategic. And exploring what does it actually mean and how can they build up their confidence and skills around that. But other challenges that I could see as well were around influence and feeling valued. So I had so many people have these brilliant ideas and then they couldn't get the buy-in for them within the organisation they were working in. And then that would end up making them feel devalued and thinking, I am working so hard. I seem to be one of the only people who really cares about the people and the organisation. I'm being given all these signals all the time that my work isn't valued in the same way as my peers within other functions. This is just rubbish. And then they start to feel really demotivated. So for one of the weeks in the group programme, we really laser in on influencing skills and looking at different ways in which you can actually influence people so you do secure the buy-in that you want to have. And then we don't look at one in particular around feeling valued, but we do explore the whole growth mindset piece. And we also look at different behavioural preferences. So the tool that I use for that is DISC, but Insights is very, very similar. Lots of people I know are more familiar with Insights than DISC.
No, I use DISC as well.
Do you?
Yeah,
So for anyone listening with DISC, the letters stand for the behavioural preferences. So you've got dominance, influence. Oh, the C one can be called different things, actually. Conscientiousness, I think, is the one at the moment, and S is steadiness, whereas Insights uses colours. So D is red in Insights, and then I is yellow. Oh, I'm being tested now on my feet. I'm just trying to think.
I was impressed. Green is... I was thinking, hope you weren't going to ask for help.
Green is S, and blue is C, because I have lots of people say, oh, I've done Insights, but I've not done DISC. What's the difference? So we look at that and really focus in on building key relationships and how you do that. So there's some of the key challenges I kept seeing coming up. So that's why I've created things to try and help.
Yeah, focus the trend. And I think they're all, you know, from a day-to-day point of view, having worked in a HR role and then doing what we're doing now, I think kind of time does come back to it. But also that strategic element of, you know, people talk about the word strategy, don't they? You know, kind of, we want to do a strategy for this. And then sometimes people are overthinking what that actually is, isn't it? And the involvement of what it is. And I can imagine that is a common challenge for people, because it's about an understanding of what the word and means there as well. So, yeah, all really valid points there. So for the people that you're working with, and I know obviously you've got your HR planner that's there, I really just want to touch on goal setting. What do you think the importance is of having goals that are set. So whether, and again, any type of industry, isn't it? Any type of person, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a HR professional, whether you're kind of a management executive, whatever it may be. What do you think the realistic benefit is of goal setting or realistic goal setting?
It just makes such a difference on so many different levels. By having clear goals, you can see how you're progressing. You can decide on what it is that you want to focus your time on. So again, when we've talked about people feeling overwhelmed, it's often because they're just trying to do so many different things. So just trying to laser in on what is the most important thing for you to be doing. When you think about it from a career perspective, it helps you be more intentional about your career choices and your decisions on what you're going to focus on throughout the year for your work, so that you don't suddenly have that awful feeling of like waking up and go, where did the last 5 years go? Why am I in this job? Like, I don't think I even like this anymore. If you've actually given yourself some time, it doesn't have to be at the beginning of the year, but it, you know, that's the time when people are naturally tend to be quite reflective. Mm-hmm.
Good opportunity.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to think about, by the time I'm at the end of the year, what do I want to have achieved? What do I want to be able to look back on and feel really proud of? What are the things I want to develop on? How do I want to be growing and learning? And so all of that is good for us to feel fulfilled as humans, to feel that we're making progress. But also from a career perspective, if you're properly setting goals and tracking those, it looks fantastic on your CV. You've got things to really articulately talk about when you're in interviews. If you're listening to this and you're a business owner and you're thinking, well, I, you know, it's not really about my career anymore, it's about my business's success, it makes all the difference. By giving yourself goals and targets, you can really see how you're progressing. Because as you pointed out earlier, Louise, well, as your guest on the show pointed out, 20% of us might not have the self-awareness. It's easy to kid ourselves about stuff. It's easy to kid ourselves that things are going to be just fine without me putting any goals in place, and then the business, you know, crumbles. Or it's easy to think, oh, you know, the fixed mindset takes hold and you become all perfectionist and think, oh, I'm not doing well enough. I'm not doing well enough. When actually, if you reflect and look at what the goal was that you set and what measures you put in place for achieving that goal, you go, oh my gosh, I knocked that out of the park, you know. I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, it's those check-in points, because the next question I was going to ask was about the review points of it, isn't it? You know, you put those things in place and you maybe set your 12-month plan, but actually it's then the review points, isn't it, to keep checking in with that to kind of see if you're on track. And as you said, are you smashing it out of the park, or actually does the things that you need to enable you to be able to do the goal, have you got all of those things in place to enable the goal to be able to kind of take forward and happen? So the review point's probably the most important part of having those set out in the first place.
It really is. It makes such a difference. In the HR Planner, I have a monthly review activity that I do every month myself, and lots of other people do. It's not just me filling in the monthly section. And I've had lots of people say to me that that's actually the most helpful aspects of the planner, because your goals also don't all have to be completely work focused as well. I've got some questions within the review page on things like, what have you done for your own well-being? What have you done to help someone else? Things that we know impact happiness directly, because we all want to have fulfilling careers and we want to be fulfilled at work and feel we're making progress, but we don't want to do that whilst working ourselves into the ground. So on my podcast each week, I start it by saying, helping HR professionals have successful and fulfilling careers without working themselves into the ground. So I think building in things like that to your review as well is actually really important, because the goals about work are phenomenally important, but if you're going to keel over because you're working 24 hours a day and aren't sleeping properly or doing anything to look after yourself, then that's actually not a very good result.
Yeah, so it is, it's not just the professional goals, it's kind of actually how you manage your life as well, isn't it? Have your own targets around, or have your own goals set around kind of how you manage your day-to-day element of things.
Yeah, just making sure that, as well as being really focused on what it is that you want to get out of your career, you are looking after yourself and making sure you're going to be happy.
Yeah, no, because that's what it's all about ultimately, isn't it? Definitely. So what would you say are kind of our key takeaways? Obviously, as we've gone through there, we've talked about quite a few different areas. What would you say are our key takeaways for our listeners to take?
The one key takeaway that I would always love anyone to take to do with their career, that I realised all those years ago when I ran that first career management workshop, is you have more control than you think. often we can feel that we're at the mercy of everybody else, and we're at the mercy of the economy or our organization or everyone around us needing stuff from us all the time. But actually, you have got control. So you can put boundaries in place and say no. You can set goals for where you want to be. You don't have to feel like you're adrift in an ocean. You can actually set a course and start moving yourself forward and calm those waters. I think that's the message that I would really love people to take away, especially if they've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed before listening to this.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good advice. And it's kind of that, again, comes back to the mindset that you've got, that you can take control of those situations yourself.
Yes.
So where can our listeners find out more about you, Faye? Where are you? What? Obviously, you've got your podcast that's there. So kind of where can people link in with you, and where can they find you?
Well, I absolutely love getting to meet people on LinkedIn. So please do feel free to drop me a connection request on there and let me know if you listen to this episode. It would be great to hear if you enjoyed hearing Louise and I chatting. I'm on there as myself, which is Faye Wallace. But my name is spelled F-A-Y, I haven't got an E on the end. And then Wallace is with an I-S on the end instead of A-C-E. But you can also find out more on my website, which is Bright Sky Career Coaching, or I'd love it if you wanted to listen to HR Coffee Time.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some information. So that obviously wraps up our episode of The Real World HR. Huge thank you to Faye for all the valuable insights into coaching, the experience that she's had, and also those key takeaways for us to be able to put in place. And also, it's really interesting from my point of view of kind of how you have been supporting people, especially within the HR industry and other people professions there as well. So you can head over to the show notes to connect with Faye, download her free HR planner and listen to the HR Coffee Time podcast, which is great to be able to listen to. Make sure you subscribe to the Real World HR podcast so you don't miss out on any of our future episodes. Please share this episode with anyone who'll benefit from our discussion today, and don't forget to leave us a rating and a review. See you on the next episode of the Real World HR, putting the human back into HR. HR is so instrumental in shaping, reinforcing and changing an organisation's culture. Take our HR health check quiz to assess the efficiency of your HR operations and uncover areas for improvement. We'll then share key actions and steps you can implement to ensure you're legally compliant, supporting your employees and managers, and supporting your business. It just takes 2 minutes and it's completely free. Head down to the show notes for the link.